Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you.
Freak Week.
Okay, let's bring in
first freak
and paranormal historian Michael Balava. He wrote Submarine Down. He wrote Wicked New Haven, Wicked Bridgeport, and he's going to tell us about the Phelps Mansion in Stratford. Now, if you know of this place, have a story on it, feel free to join the conversation. 1-877-764-2535. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning, everybody.
There's a mansion in Stratford?
Yeah, there was. The Phelps Mansion on Elm Street, and it was built in 1826. A Georgian mansion, if you can imagine a southern plantation, anything in your mind's eye
right.
is going to grasp this huge edifice, four big columns in front. You know, you're thinking like Gone with the Wind type of a building.
Forrest Gump, yeah.
And in 1850, a new family had moved in from the original owners, and his name was Reverend Eliakim Phelps.
Oh.
And Reverend Eliakim Phelps brought his new wife, and three stepchildren and their own son. And almost immediately after relocating to Stratford from Philadelphia, strange things started to occur.
Well, it's Connecticut.
it all kicked off.
His money started disappearing.
Oh, no! Kept the guy sucked towards Hartford.
And that's one of the things that did not happen.
Oh.
On March 10th, 1850, they were at church services, and when they returned for the break in the mid-morning, they found the front door had been left open.
Mm.
After it was locked, it was the entrance was draped with a black cloth as if there was a funeral taking place in the home, and that there were dummies, edifices created from their own clothing. Contacted the police immediately. There was nothing missing. There was no money missing.
Right.
But there were these life-size dolls that were supposed to represent images of the family. And in the middle of them, they were in a praying position.
Nope.
And in the middle of them, hanging from the ceiling from a rope, was what was described as a hideous type of dwarf, as if they were in reverence of this evil creature thing hanging there.
Ugh. What a terrifying scene.
Well, honey, we can't stay. Got to move.
And that's what kicked off what became known as one of the country's greatest paranormal poltergeist experiences. Things were crashing around the house, moving. There was moaning. Window panes were broken. Folks were trying to figure it out right from the beginning. They figured that this had to have been a hoax. The neighbors, the children, but they would have men, editors from newspapers, sitting in one room with only the entrance to the room and a closet, and they would be banging. The closet door was almost expanding. The thundering pounding was so harsh. They opened the door. No one is in there. And as soon as they closed it, the pounding resumed. This went on for 8 months.
Wow. It's like workers.
Oh my God.
Would have been gone day one.
Seriously, when I came home, I found the dwarf and those things. Bye!
I may have stayed through that, thinking pranksters.
Yeah, no.
But as soon as something flies through the air, smash. Okay,
no.
Family.
I see that.
What do you think?
I'm putting things in the car. We're out of here.
I didn't like Stratford anyway.
Yeah. Let's try Bridgeport.
Did they investigate? Were there like murders that took place in the house? Was it the house on a burial ground? What
right,
happened?
Right.
Yeah, no, the only thing, and it's falsely attributed, was that the Stratford witch, Goody Bassett, was executed on that site.
Goody Bassett?
And she was not. It's not even quite sure if she was executed at all, but if she had been in Stratford in early 1650s, it would have been more towards where the Burt's Lumber Company is. It's now closed.
Wouldn't that make sense though with the little dolls praying to the little thing that's kind of like a witch?
That's witch stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It seems witchy to me.
And that story took off, though. Everybody attributes the story to the haunting to Goody Bassett, and it's not.
It's not.
It wouldn't have been. What people might think, you know, what opened the door, the portal, was that Reverend Phelps had held, he was interested in the supernatural, he was interested in spiritualism, and he had held a seance with friends just a few days prior to that March 10th experience.
It's just so funny because the person named Goody Bastard, I would think, you know, we think good. Mm-hmm. Goody. You know, like,
or
no,
opposite.
Like, no good bastard. Okay. That person seems like a bad person.
Yeah. We're going to call you Goody.
Goody, yeah.
Because you're so baddie.
Right. Like, we call a tall person shorty. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what happened to the house, the mansion? They tore it down?
You know,
so at some point, people are like, we're not living here. Were there multiple families that were spooked out by this?
There were a lot of families that lived in the house. Right afterwards, it was owned by the Beach family. And Alfred Beach started or tried to build the first subway in New York. He was the editor of the Scientific American. Wow. No experiences with any of the families until about the 1940s. And for whatever reason, it seems when it became a convalescent home, assisted living, that there were situations where there were doors that would open and close even though they were supposedly locked. There were two instances when a child was in a crib and a fire had started in the child's bedroom. The intercom buzzers went off. And the staff, the mom, ran upstairs, and there's the baby. The fire was just starting in the baby's room, and there's no human way possible a baby in a crib could have reached even pressed the button.
Well, that's pretty good.
Maybe the kid was smoking. They used to smoke early in the day. Trying to pack a Paul Malls unfiltered.
Wham. All right, so that baby thing, that was before it was assisted living, because the baby wouldn't be in the house.
Oh, the owners of the assisted living facility resided in the house.
Oh,
with
that
their
was their baby.
Yes. Aha. And it happened again a few years later. Glenn, the child baby, was now a toddler, and the buzzer rang again. And the family, first, of course, they searched the senior citizens, make sure everybody was okay. And when that checked all right, they looked up onto the upper banisters, and there they saw a three-year-old almost falling over on the top railing.
Well,
would have been a three-story fall. So that buzzer saved the child's life again.
Whatever this entity was, it liked the kid, or maybe the kid was like Damien.
Right. Yeah, check his neck for like 666 in the back.
I mean, you laugh, but why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? I mean, that'd be the first thing. I want to see back your neck.
Michael Balava is on, author, paranormal historian. So I'm guessing at some point people were like, yeah, we're good with this. And then it becomes abandoned, and then what?
It was abandoned in the late 1960s, about 1968, 69, and it became the site where everybody knew the stories about the house. So everybody wanted to investigate it, go there, hold their own seances.
Kids going through there.
Exactly. Fires, damage. There was one police officer I did interview, a Stratford police officer, when he got a call about vandals in the house, as usual. They got into the home. They went to the upper floors. At the end of a long hall, there was what the officer explained to me was a shadow person that... And the police officer just kind of moved his body. He said there were no legs. It just glided across the floor into a room. So his partner, and he knew they had this kid or teenager, whatever, cornered. They went into the room. There was only the closet. It was just unnerving. They didn't feel safe about whatever was going on. They said they unholstered their weapons, went to the closet door, and opened it. It was empty.
Jeez.
And he swears on his soul.
It'd take me three steps to get out of there.
Yep.
Boom, one on the steps.
Right.
Boom, in the door. Boom.
I'm out the window.
you turn around and say, Chaz.
Chaz. Chaz. Chaz.
I'm already home.
Right.
But then it was torn down shortly after. It came down the beginning of 1972.
Amy and Easton.
Yes.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Your dad was a Stratford cop?
He was. He started in the late 60s, and in the late 60s, early 70s, the police department used to get calls from neighbors saying that there are kids in the house, lights on, images in the windows, and my father would go and check out the house, nothing. Time after time, would find nothing at all in the house. And, and there was no power to the house with lights on.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's very scary.
Something to that place.
Yep.
Oh, definitely. Without a doubt. yeah, all of the police officers at that time didn't want to go there.
And your dad's retired now?
Oh yeah, he's passed.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
But well, yeah, he would always tell us stories about the Phelps Mansion, and I grew up in Stratford, and my mom is still there, and oh yeah, an old town.
Yep.
Even creepy throughout the cemetery behind the Stratford Library.
Oh, really? Oh. Yeah, Michael is shaking his head yes, and his eyes are open wide. So
that is a very creepy cemetery.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Amy.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. The whole area around the Phelps Mansion includes the Shakespeare Theater. And
that burned down.
Burned down recently.
On that stage? Why'd they call it Shakespeare Theater?
Named after Stratford-on-Avon. We had a partnership sister city, Stratford, Connecticut, Stratford-on-Avon, England. It was founded by Katharine Hepburn, a lot of big, heavy stars in the 50s.
And it was actually modeled after the famed Shakespeare Theater in England.
The Globe. The Globe Theater. Very, yes. And the theater was haunted. I spoke to the folks who worked there as staff that they had seen what appeared to be large, I mean, not orbs, but large, foggy mists that would, outside the building, rolling to the contour against the building. One usher I spoke with was locked outside when everybody else ran away from this orb, this flowing, rolling orb, and left her outside just feet away from it.
And it always made a grand entrance, too.
Sounds horrible, but that would be me.
Sorry. You're right. Right. Bye.
Michael Balava is on, author and paranormal historian, author of Wicked New Haven and Wicked Bridgeport. Three top haunted places in Bridgeport.
The Lindley Street, of course, that was discussed earlier.
Yeah.
This week on Monday, there was poltergeist activity in the Arlington Hotel on Main Street.
Poltergeist activity?
Yeah. Wrappings, knocking is continuously centered around a 12-year-old invalid girl. Never explained.
Okay.
784 Broad Street. The home is no longer there. It's across from the Housatonic Community College bookstore. That was the house of Albert Bender, who supposedly experienced the very first visitation by men in black. Some people think it was... he had opened a portal to another dimension, and that there's something to do with demons with that, perhaps.
Oh.
The other site.
So the Men in Black movie, there is something to that. There was this organization that investigated potential aliens on Earth.
Yes. Nobody knows if they were a quasi-government agency, independent, CIA, FBI. No one's quite sure. Bender later in life said it wasn't even a government office. It was aliens. He felt that he had been visited by people from another planet.
Right.
Told him to cut out his research.
Oh, wow. Wouldn't that be brilliant?
What's that? What? Oh, 1 minute.
I thought Phil was like, there's an alien.
Right.
right above you. Hello? Hello?
He's pointing above my head. I'm like,
Jesus!
Listen!
I'm freaking out over here.
Wrong alien.
Wouldn't it be brilliant? The aliens come down and they say, we're with the government.
Right. You wouldn't question that.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And that's what took place.
How do we know?
Wow. Well, Michael, thanks for coming on, man. It's always great to see you.
Always good seeing you.
How do we link up to you? Is there a website?
Yeah, you know, people can get a hold of me through my Facebook site, Michael J. Balava, at author. Michael J. Balava, author.
And it's B-I-E-L-A-W-A. We'll put it on our Facebook page.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween. A Bridgeport man has been charged with third-degree assault and second-degree breach of peace after police responded to an incident that occurred during a football game at the Christine Lilly Field. This is according to police. They were called to the field at 11:45 a.m. on Sunday, and Michael Curry, 42, of Bridgeport, was charged. He was released on a promise to appear. Hearst, Connecticut, reported that Curry is accused of punching his child's football coach in the face. The game involved fifth graders, which included Wilton and Stanford youth teams.
Uh-huh.
Police did not say what led to the alleged punch, but the coach was not injured.
That's the good news.
Yeah.
Ugly scene.
Is that embarrassing for the guy who threw the punch?
I would say.
I hope so.
Right?
punched
you.
I hope you. He feels at least embarrassed.
No, you threw a punch, hit somebody in the face, and
oh, I gotcha.
Didn't hurt him.
Right. You want that one to annihilate that person, allegedly.
I don't know. I don't know what's better. You don't want the guy being so hurt that you wind up like this. This is an incident that follows you forever.
Mm.
I don't know.
The one thing that gets me is the contrasting thing about violence at Christine Lilly Field.
Yeah, it's weird.
Just something like a happy place.
It's just fifth graders. It's a. They're kids.
Yeah, they're not career. It's not careers here. Yeah.
I would just love to hear this guy's version of it.
Right. Like, what led to this?
First of all of this is alleged.
Allegedly,
we have this. AJ didn't mean that cough. Right. He wasn't saying, allegedly.
Yeah, not just having at the worst time, yes.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
But these parents are popping off now. It's not good. Like, earlier this month, Christopher Polk, 32, accused, arrested in connection with an assault on a youth football coach. He allegedly used a football helmet to strike the victim in the head.
Yeah, you can't say that was accidental. Oh, I'm sorry, did I get you?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you got the thing by the face mask and you're kind of just wailing on someone,
yeah.
It's kind of hard to say, oh, well, you know, what do you say?
You had a bee on your head?
Yeah, there was a bee on your head. I got the bee. I got him. Yep. I got it.
And that guy's lucky he's okay. That could be such a brutal hit.
That can hurt.
What? Well, knocked him out. So it definitely hurt.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do we do with these people? These parents are going bananas.
Maybe don't have parents at games anymore. You can't handle it.
It's a drag.
You can't handle it.
Well, it's such a small percentage. You can't get rid of the parents.
You put cameras and have them watch on Zoom somewhere.
Okay, like that's one thing.
That way you can just mute them, AJ.
Like they're watching it, you know, regular their football broadcast. Only it's an afternoon.
I just wish that we could go around tasing people because I think more people would be polite.
Maybe.
I think a little self-awareness is needed. I had a guy on my team. His father used to come to the games. He could not interact with the other parents, so he'd set up a lawn chair way down the right field line, and he'd just watch the game from there.
Great.
He'd be set up by himself. He'd have, like, his little cooler. You'd hear him, right? Like, we'd be on the field. You'd hear him yelling. But he'd be by himself.
Right. Except for the one time kept on yelling, oh, heart attack, oh. Don't pay attention to him. He's angry.
Came around.
Right, right.
Right. I think if you knew, if you were walking towards him, what potentially could be happening? Like, you guys were going to be in a shouting match.
Maybe instead of punching, we work it up by interpretive dance.
Yeah, that's your answer to every...
That's my anger right now.
Yeah, dance.
Yep.
Well, they dance, but it's in a different way.
Right, yeah. Slam dancing.
AJ did do an example. That was just for Twitch, by the way.
Thank you.
Because the radio listeners did not get to enjoy it.
Why would you want to coach a team?
Really?
It's like, why would you want to be a cop? Why, you know what? We're just all animals.
It's true.
We've become nutty, crazy...
Antisocial animals.
Righteous.
Yeah. Aware, awoke, of this or that, annoying.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, stop. Stop. Everybody, we're human.
We've become unmanageable.
Yes. We just take a step back and chill for a second here.
And the people who are polite don't want to get involved.
Right.
Like, when there's a parent like this going bananas.
Just nothing good comes from it.
You just kind of move away. You don't say anything because you don't want to be. Now, I'm in a fight with a parent at a game.
That's going to ruin my
afternoon. Because I was telling this guy, to like, hey, lighten up.
I got places to be later.
Right. Like, how embarrassing would that be if you're the person whose mugshot now is going around on news? It's like, I was trying to help.
Right.
What am I supposed to do there?
I was just trying to tell this guy to lighten up.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I'm punched in the face and I'm on television.
I would hope my mugshot came out good, though.
They never do it.
Wait, I blinked. Sorry, Hank. Can we do it again?
All right. Three horrible ways to die.
Three. Okay. Not one, but two.
Okay. Horrible way number one. Here's the headline.
Okay.
Grandfather killed in skydiving accident at a high school football game.
No. Last word was, ooh.
What? That's a lot of details there.
Yeah. Newly released video captured the moment a skydiving stunt went horribly wrong, leading to the death of a grandfather ahead of a Tennessee high school football game.
Do you still play after that?
So the They did.
They
oh,
did?
Man. It's Tennessee,
they
AJ.
They did. That's Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
Football.
That's right.
We'll play in his honor. That's right.
Richard Sheffield, 55, died in full view of horrified spectators after a hard landing on the field.
Oh. Was this a planned football stunt?
Yes.
Yeah, but don't they have to investigate? Do they play around him in the investigators?
It's like he's coming in.
Right, coming in too hot.
The video showed Sheffield spinning around in a circle as he descended close to the ground with his parachute deployed.
Oh, I'm getting dizzy.
That is awful.
Terrified fans on the ground were heard shrieking and screaming as the skydiver plummeted towards the ground at a speed that appeared way too fast for a safe landing.
He left an impression on the field, though.
Sheffield was part of a group of paratroopers that traditionally entertained fans before the school's musket bowl. And he had more than 1,500 jumps to his credit.
Now, when did they investigate? They get that big orange thing and they put it down under the chain.
Sheffield reportedly.
We got a rolling on that one.
Skydiver
on the field.
Skip this part because it's sad.
30-yard line. First down.
His son said, quote, dad, husband, and pops, emotional Facebook post, that one thing dad loved the most was going fast, and that's how he went out.
Okay.
See? I disagree. It wasn't going fast that took him out.
Right. Yeah.
It was the sudden stop.
The deceleration trauma, yes. The 60 to zero in a tenth of a second.
Quote, people look at what we do and say it's crazy, and well, maybe it is, but dad lived a full life, and he taught us to do the same. He made an impact on everyone he met.
Why did you
use that word? Why?
It's true.
He made an impact on the field.
He made an impact that we'll never forget.
Wow.
Seems weird to use that word.
Yeah. Or
the football game reportedly went on as scheduled following a moment of silence.
Let's drag him off.
Right.
And now a moment of silence. Everybody turn around this way.
Okay. All right, everyone. Moment of silence.
What's that scraping sound?
Okay, we're good. Let's play ball.
Here, shovels.
Okay. Horrible way to die, number two.
Okay.
Missing grandma's body found inside monster python.
Oh, we should play hide and seek.
Who thought to look there?
Never to find me here.
A grandmother was swallowed by a 22-foot-long python in Indonesia, with a shocking video capturing the moment her remains were found inside the cut-open beast.
Oh, yeah, and wow. So glad I saw that video as I was eating breakfast this morning.
A search was launched after the victim, only identified as Jahara, 54, failed to return from collecting rubber from a plantation on Sunday. Her husband searched the area, only found his wife's sandals.
Oops, oh, there it goes.
Man.
Oh, the rubber tree.
Sandals
pushing.
Don't stay on your feet in trauma.
No. They don't. Or the python went like seeds in a watermelon.
Yeah, these aren't good. Yeah, right. I don't like these.
These taste like feet.
Ugh.
Right, that's like the crust on your peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, I'm not, I'm not having
piggy
this.
Python.
Right, yeah.
Wow, that's
so
awful.
He returned to the same area with a search party the next day, stumbling across a giant snake with a swollen midsection.
Did you see that video?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was a big-ass snake, and then they slid it open.
I was
going to
be a large poop.
They slid it out, yeah.
Yeah. A wild video shows a volunteer carefully using a branch to pin the python's head down as others started bashing it above the swollen area.
Right. Why bother above the area? Just hit it anywhere because you're going to kill it.
That person's not alive.
Yeah, no, she's right.
You don't swallow a living person.
Right.
Boy, the guy who pinned that head down has balls.
Big time.
That could have went horribly wrong.
Well, you know, it's also the best time to do it because it's full.
Yeah, it's got...
it's full.
And it's
got no room for any more.
Yeah. It's got that after Thanksgiving fullness.
No piece of pie. So little belt was open.
The disturbing clip then cut to villagers carefully slicing it open, revealing what officials say was the swallowed body of the missing grandmother.
She was blue.
Well,
did you see the skin? She was blue.
Oh, she was in a belly.
Yeah, I know, but they the same.
Suffocate you.
She looks like Avatar.
Yeah, the snake bit, suffocated by wrapping itself around her, and then swallowed her.
Yep.
They estimated it would have taken at least 2 hours for all of this to happen.
Wow.
And that 22-foot snake, not even the record for the village, where they found a 27-foot-long python not too long ago.
Oh, great. Move.
Yeah, I think so.
Move.
I think you don't go out looking for rubber in the plantation.
No, you do not.
No, you go not. With a team.
Right.
I have another question, and this may be rude to this woman.
Okay.
She lost her life.
But
how does that animal sneak up on you? How do you not see 22 feet of predator?
Maybe she went to run away, but those flip-flops she was in got caught.
Yeah, that's bad.
Ugh. Yep.
Jesus.
I can think of better ways to go.
Okay, horrible way to die, number three.
Oh, we're not done?
All right. But wait, there's much more.
This is the last one of the trifecta.
Okay.
Amazon driver killed in front yard after apparent dog attack. This happened in Missouri, and here's a clip from the news report.
Authorities say an Amazon delivery driver was found dead outside of a home near Excelsior Springs.
According to the Ray County Sheriff, the driver might have died after suffering trauma injuries from a dog attack. Deputies got called to that home after people reported the Amazon van was parked outside a home for several hours and was running with its lights on. And when the police got there, the driver was found laying outside in front of the home. Responding deputies encountered two aggressive dogs who they eventually shot and killed. And the sheriff told us they made contact with the people who live there, but they're out of town.
Ooh.
They're out of town, not feeding the dogs.
Right, so dogs are hungry, and here comes basically Uber.
And, you know, dog people get on me every time I say this, but those dogs, I'm sure you could have looked at them and said, yeah, I wouldn't let my baby crawl all over those dogs.
Yeah, they said one was a shepherd, one was like an English Mastiff.
Those are big animals.
Yeah.
That's a mess from start to finish there.
Jesus.
Big doggies. Yep. Yeah. Now, you never see an Amazon vehicle for more than 10 minutes, tops.
Yeah, but that's right.
It's barely 75
Seriously,
seconds.
They throw
Seriously.
The box right out the window.
Yeah.
Really, the guy almost like walked in front of my truck
One
once.
Guy hit my garage door.
Yeah.
It was like a dinging.
Right.
Like, oh, you freak.
Right. Fragile. Hiya, Amazon. What are you doing?
A couple trapped in their house, surrounded by tumbleweeds.
What?
Seriously, Whoa. Tumbleweeds?
It's like a horror movie.
All right, at that point, you're just not going to survive, period.
How many were there?
Something bad happens. Just take yourself out. You ain't going to survive. Tumbleweeds.
Don't wait to die.
It's not like they fight you.
Just do it.
It's not like wild animals. It's freaking dead things rolling around.
Right. There's this thing. It's called a window.
Yeah. Wow.
Let's go out the window and we'll move the tumbleweeds.
These folks need to be, like, taken and observed, like a zoo.
A couple in a suburb of Colorado Springs trapped in their house by enormous tumbleweeds that blocked the doors and windows?
How?
It's tumbleweeds.
What the hell? What?
I want to see pictures. I want charts and graphs.
Do they weigh, like, 9,000 pounds?
I want IQ tests.
It's a dead bush.
I want IQ tests.
Here's an idea. Push a little bit and then set it on fire. It's a dead thing.
Marlise Gross says that heavy winds over the weekend blew masses of tumbleweeds onto their property, blocking them from getting out.
Wow.
When she finally got out, she tried to drive down her driveway, but it was covered in tumbleweeds.
Now, there's a disaster film to go. Tumbleweed.
Some neighbors eventually came to her rescue.
The Rock.
What is this clip, AJ?
There's two.
There's two of them.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. We're starting with...
the first one, I think she's
stuck in the house.
Though. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
We couldn't even get off of here. This was all full. I looked out of my bathroom window.
I understand now.
Yes, it was all full. Quick out of here.
3 seconds and like, okay.
Is she eating food right now?
You're definitely someone who can get trapped in your house by tumbleweeds.
I'm sorry, I have a mouthful of food right now. What? I had to eat tumbleweeds. What the hell's wrong? Hey, mush mouth. What happened?
Right.
She eat her way out?
Exactly. You can tell I actually hurt my tongue.
My lips are sore from chewing through the tumbleweeds.
Oh, my God. It's horrible. And anytime my mouth's all cut up.
She sounds like someone who eats shredded wheat for breakfast every day.
With no milk.
Right. Yeah.
We couldn't even get off of here. This was all full. I looked out of my bathroom window, and the tumbleweeds kept on jumping up on the window. Horrible. Look at
that. Did she bite the tip of her tongue off?
She sounds Swedish. There was a whole bunch of tumbleweeds outside the bathroom window, yeah. And then we had to push the double meter out. Port, port, port. Beer, birdie, beastie, burgundy, and smooshin. Smooshin the tumble weedin.
This is not the first time this person's been stuck in their house.
No. Or anywhere.
It's just my neighbor. I'd be like, just be fair. Just talk about something.
I couldn't get out the bathroom stall.
Beer, birdie, beastie, burgundy.
Did you think about climbing under?
No. I had to put on the clogging.
I've done that.
I had to put on the wooden clogging and walking in the tumble weedin.
The tumbleweeds kept on jumping up on the window. Horrible. Look at that. From the deck, I opened the front door, and the whole tumbleweeds.
Now sing, Achterliebe Augustine. Achterliebe Augustine, Augustine, Augustine.
Open the door, there's tumbleweeds.
Augustine, Augustine. The tumbleweeds is in the window,
You know, it's funny. We were confused by this story until we heard her speak.
I get it now.
All right. Do you get the feeling that calamity just follows this person?
Yes.
Just like in her day-to-day life.
The tumbleweeds are like, hey, man, follow me. I got this place we can go.
I got locked inside my car for 3 days.
It was a convertible.
My grandparents closed at the drive-in. They went to see Closed for the Season.
And then I spun the spin of the question.
Wow. Just nothing works out for her.
She's a
like
party.
I imagine every example in the Alanis Morissette song, that's been her entire life.
Oh man, she's a party. I want to give her a beer and listen to some talk.
All right, was that the end of the first clip?
That's the end of the first clip. There's a whole second clip.
Oh, and the second clip is...
This is the driveway now. She's made it out of the house, and this is why she couldn't leave
the
property.
She's escaping from the tumbleweeding.
Right.
Okay.
I almost ran into the neighbor's fence because I didn't know where I was. You had to fight yourself through the tumbleweeds, which were above the car. You had to push yourself in. To it. You kind of almost, you feel helpless. Well, I thought it was a bad dream. We still can't walk anywhere. I don't know how,
your life
what
is
we're going to do,
dream.
How we
it's
get
like
ready
a
of those tumbleweeds.
Odor Sherton.
She almost drove into the neighbor's fence trying to leave her property because she didn't know where she was. Did you hear that?
It sounds to me like she just would have done that anyway. No tumbleweeds. Just
I know.
Driving.
I think she's doing some psychedelics.
Yep.
Like, good for her.
She's not even Swedish.
Good for her.
I was driving the cars in the tumbleweed in the fencing.
In the tumbleweed.
I found the news story.
See, to really understand or maybe still not understand, let's bring in KRDO News Channel 13's Annabelle.
Well, even the news guy makes her sound like a jerk.
KRUD?
You have to see this to understand or maybe you won't understand.
Crud?
What's going on behind you?
Spencer, it's crazy that a tumbleweed, well, a lot of them, if you see here, can create such a situation. I want you to look behind me right here. This is the road that leads to this home of the couple that I spoke with today. They cannot get out of their house. Earlier, I could get into that driveway.
The road is covered.
But now they're just confused trying to figure
out
what to do next.
It's tumbleweeds.
I know. You could drive right through it. But the road does look like a hayfield.
We couldn't even get off of here. This was all full.
A shocking sight.
I looked out of my bathroom window and the tumbleweeds.
First of all, when you open a door, it opens inside.
Right.
So it's not like, I can't push the tumbleweeds away from the door.
That was your first problem.
You open the door.
Right.
It comes in the house.
Inside.
Right. You're going the wrong way with the door. And she looks exactly like what I pictured. She looks like a tumbleweed.
Oh, God.
Kept on jumping up on the window.
As Marlies Gross realizes that her home is enclosed by tumbleweeds.
Horrible. Look at that. From the deck.
Blocking every exit.
I opened the front door and the whole tumbleweeds.
Marlies says she tried to leave.
I cannot find the words.
They couldn't even use the clip.
Tumbleweeds.
She couldn't see the road in front of her.
I almost ran into the neighbor's fence because I didn't know where I was.
Those neighbors spending hours Sunday morning helping clear the road for Marlies and her husband.
You had to fight yourself through the tumbleweeds.
Through that.
Which were above the car. You had to push yourself into it.
But still, the sight from her back porch is a sea of them.
You kind of almost, you feel helpless. Well, I thought it was a bad dream.
But it's her reality, one with unknown next steps and a whole lot of tumbleweed.
We still can't walk.
Of course, she's wearing clogs.
It fush to shuck. Wow.
Chaz, I forwarded you an email from Marcy, our tribe member Marcy, and she shared a video, separate incident. A motorist on the highway had like one of those GoPros set up in their car, what it looks like when tumbleweeds are coming through. Because this was an incident in another part of the country, I guess. And it is pretty, like, it would mess you up.
Don't hush my buzz here.
Yes. No. She's fun. This woman is fun.
Right. No, I understand that, because I'm looking at the pictures and a road looks like a hayfield. So
exactly.
I get it. But you're
this
not.
This is your property.
You're not trapped.
No.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can get out.
You're not trapped.
You can get out.
Right.
It's hay.
If
yeah,
you're
exactly.
on the highway,
right.
you know, and you're driving along and all of a sudden you can't see the road, that's a whole different story. But I do understand a little bit more about how this could be troubling.
Yeah, it's a combination of a lot of tumbleweeds and two morons.
Yes.
Calling your superstition or phobia. This is good. We posted this last night on the Chaz and AJ Facebook page.
Yep.
Almost 200 comments. And a lot of spider problems.
Oh, yes. Spiders, yes.
I don't know anyone who thinks spiders are cute and cuddly.
I do know a couple of
There's
people
a play few
with
of
them.
Those spider
They'll play with
tarantula
them.
People.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't really believe them. I feel like they do it just to troll the rest of
just
us.
Just to freak us out.
And You're probably right.
Yeah, no. If it has more than four legs, I'm out.
But as I scan through the comments, I feel like that's like the number one type. Nobody likes spiders.
No, they do not. No.
Tracy in Newtown tapped the ceiling of my car going under railway bridge.
I've heard of tapping the ceiling.
I've heard of this. Some people pick their feet up when they're going under a railroad bridge.
Or over railroad tracks.
Right, over the tracks, you pick your feet up.
Yeah.
Under the overpass, you tap the roof or hit, like, the visor. People, it's like a good luck thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know why, like, you know, bridges, like, landed on cars.
It's funny, if you believe it, you have to do it.
Yeah. I've seen people do it. You ask them why, they're like, I don't know, I just have to do it.
Everyone's done, my family here. Yep.
Kellyanne wrote, geckos.
Oh, what? They're trying to save on your insurance.
She lived in Guam for 3 years and had geckos come into the house. They were silent but would dart past you if you moved a glass or something.
Right.
Totally freaked me out.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just see something darting past your feet, you'd freak out. Yeah.
During mating season, when the house was dark, I could hear their clicking sounds. Ah.
Oh.
Yeah, they're a little like tree frogs that communicate with each other at night.
They have long toenails.
And then Eric for New Haven wrote, I lived in Guam from 93 to 98, and do you remember the size of the spiders?
Back to the spiders.
Yeah.
Yes.
When a spider's the size of a hubcap, I'm out.
Exactly right.
Yeah, and I'm good.
Mamsie wrote, spilling salt.
Yep.
Chris had an interesting one. The bottom of lakes, ponds, and rivers. Yes. It's like muck from 1,000 years.
Yeah.
What's in there?
That's skeevy. Yeah, well, it's a lot of...
What's in there?
It's a lot of, like, you know, decaying whatever was floating around.
Yes.
Yeah,
you know,
usually
leaves. Drowned in there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the regular animal. Mice.
Just,
rats, whatever, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I used to, like, go into streams and just sit in streams back in White Hills, like, walking around as a kid or take a little sip out of the stream.
Yeah.
And now I think, I don't even want to sit in the stream. I don't know what's going to go in my butthole.
Yeah.
There could be like things swimming around there. And then all of a sudden you got this thing in your intestines.
Right.
That's the preferred hole even.
Right.
We've had stories where it's the other way.
That's right.
That's why I try and cover my butthole as I'm swimming.
You pucker?
I pucker, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm never relaxed in the water anyway, so nothing's getting in there.
Right.
Like a frog. Watertight.
Nothing's getting in my butt.
Nothing's getting in there, right. Not even Cokes or get me drunk.
Yeah, but back in the day,
yeah.
We could sit in the water. Like, I'd go swimming in the Housatonic. I'd never jump in there now.
Yeah, no. Now they have the things they call, like, flesh-eating bacteria. Where the hell did that come from?
Yeah, I might get on a tube and...
Yeah.
But
there's some interesting stuff here. Danny Max has always puts his left shoe on first. It's like a superstition.
It's a superstition, or he's right-handed, and that's easier.
I'm thinking it's a superstition.
Okay.
If you always put that one on first.
A lot of people have that leaving the house. AJ, you tap your door.
No, I don't tap my door. When I leave my house, no, I don't tap my door.
Don't you turn a knob?
I what I do is I close the door, I lock it, and I turn it 8 times.
Okay.
To make sure it's locked.
That's crazy.
To make sure Marshall is not road pizza when I come home.
Oh,
and then
right.
And then when I close the storm door, I also do the same thing. I tug on it 8 times. to make. Actually, I tug four times and push four times. And eight times, basically seven with one for good luck. It's just something I do. I've done it for many, many years. Thank you. Appreciate that. Right.
Kyle in North Haven.
How you doing?
Hey.
Hello.
Good morning. So I am afraid of ketchup.
Ketchup?
Ketchup.
Why?
It's a big phobia that's around.
So how do you go to a diner?
I just don't even bring it near me, or I try not to sit at a table that has it.
Now, why are you frightened by the ketchup? What what's the matter?
It's something about since I was a kid. My mom used to never believe me until we went to the doctors, and he even told her I can't really pronounce the name, but it's a thing. I've always been afraid of it.
I wonder if you went into one of those deep therapies, trance-like states, if it would come out.
Right, what happened to you?
They hypnotized me.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it the sound that almost rang out?
Oh, it's just everything about it.
Everybody thinks I farted now. Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Wow. I wonder what happened.
Everything about it.
Yeah.
That's what happened in my house.
Wow.
I don't allow it near me at all.
So what do you put in your burger?
No ketchup.
No ketchup.
That's why I like Lou's Lunch.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
The tomato.
So you don't go to McDonald's. You don't go to Burger King. You don't.
Do you tell them no ketchup?
Right. Like even just at a diner.
I've never had McDonald's before. And I usually don't eat fast food.
Wow. So like.
A lot of my friends make fun of me. They're like, you've never had McDonald's.
What about
I've had their french fries one time, and that was it.
What about A1 or mustard or Heinz 57
sauce? That doesn't bother
sauce.
Me. That doesn't bother me.
Wow.
Just ketchup.
Just ketchup.
Will you eat a tomato?
Just a raw tomato. Interesting.
I can eat raw tomato. It's just a form of ketchup itself.
Can you have spaghetti sauce?
Right. Meatballs? Yeah. Anything? Right. Yeah.
That's like a hot ketchup.
I don't have sauce because it reminds me of ketchup. Gotcha. And I'm Italian.
Wow.
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 Wow. Yeah.
I did find what this phobia is called. I found a pronunciation on YouTube, so I don't know how accurate this is, but it is a long word.
Okay.
Yes, it starts with an M.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Yes, okay.
Yep.
Mortuosquosphobia.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hold on, play that again.
Okay.
Mortuosquosphobia.
Mortuosquosphobia.
Wow.
Something like a country.
Sounds like a guy with an accent who's holding in a hit of weed.
No, I'm thinking of a country in Ukraine.
AJ, what I thought is it's like a neighboring village of Transylvania. Like, this is where Dracula is. And then these are his neighbors.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Never had McDonald's.
Wow.
Because you don't like ketchup.
So what do you dip your fries in?
Yeah, what if you go through the drive-thru, you don't have to see it, and you tell them not to include it?
Right.
I was raised in an Italian family, so we always cooked, so we never really ate out.
Wow.
So I just never had the, okay. I don't know, and everyone, the people I hang out with, they're like, McDonald's kind of nasty anyways. So.
Okay, so when did your parents tell you when they first learned you didn't like ketchup? Were you a toddler? Did they put ketchup in front of you?
I would always freak out when I was a kid. When I would smell it or see it, I would just never eat it. And then when probably around like 9 or 10, I started to remember like really not liking it at all and being kind of afraid of it. Being around it just scared me. I always would think that it would come like I would be able to taste it and I don't want to taste it.
Do you like scream or like freak out?
Yeah,
like,
I walk away. It gives me goosebumps.
You walk away.
I cringe. I feel it in like the back of my neck when I look at it.
Maybe in a past life, your parents were murdered in front of you and you were covered in blood.
Right. Or ketchup.
Or ketchup.
Yeah. I remember as a child sometimes having some nightmares about it.
Wow.
Maybe he was
this
a
burger. I'm fascinated with this.
Maybe he was a burger in a past
Have you
life.
Ever... I'm sorry. I stepped on what you said. What did you say?
Maybe he's a burger.
He was a burger one time.
Right,
ketchup
life.
Gets on him.
In
he's like, no!
Life.
No! You're going to eat me!
You know what's going to happen next. Right, exactly right.
Oh,
I've told them down at Lou's Lunch, like, just joking about it. And I'm like, oh, I'm okay with no having ketchup because I'm afraid of it.
They must love
and,
you.
And Jeff, the owner, he laughed. He was like, good, because we don't like it here.
Nice. I love Jeff.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Have you ever thought about going to hypnotist to figure this one out?
I have thought
about that. I did use Hypnotize to stop smoking cigarettes. It worked very well for
me. Great. So you're one of those people who could do it.
You're susceptible, yes.
Yeah. I have thought about it, but I just haven't really made the time to go.
Yeah, just to know why.
Linda in Bridgeport.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
Good
morning. You have a superstition or a phobia?
Well, yeah, it's kind of weird, but I have a pair of sleeping glasses. I have to wear glasses to when I sleep because I don't want to have a dream and I can't see. Like, what if I fall and break my leg and it's because I didn't have my glasses on?
Okay, so in your dream, you're thinking you have to have your glasses. Otherwise, you're blinded.
I literally will not go to bed without a pair of glasses on my face.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. How do you keep them on? Are they like goggles? Like a pilot's goggles?
Right. A little strap on the back?
Like those rec specs, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like when I sleep, I stay in one place. So they stay. My kids think I'm really weird for this. But, yeah, I want to be able to see in my dreams. So I have to wear glasses to bed.
Huh. Have you ever had a dream before you did this? Did you have a dream where you didn't have glasses on and couldn't see?
No, but as long as I've had glasses, which has been like 10 years, I've always slept in them. Oh. Always.
Wow.
Yeah. I know, it's weird.
No.
And putting skin is
weird. Well, we asked for you.
Exactly right.
We asked for you to call in this weird stuff.
Have you heard some of the previous stuff?
I got a weird one. Yeah. I'm going to share since you shared a weird one.
Uh-oh.
I'm a little embarrassed to say this.
What?
Well, if I'm walking with Jennifer.
Okay.
And we split a pole. Like, I go around one side, she goes around another.
Yeah.
I say bread and butter.
Oh, wow. Bread and butter.
And I'll say it under my, you know, I don't
under
say it
breath,
out loud.
Right. Okay. You'll go, bread and butter. Yeah.
No, you go, bread and butter. And now, where did this come from? I watched a Popeye cartoon.
Oh, my gosh. Bread and butter.
And he would do that every time.
I remember that.
I learned this phobia from Popeye.
It was actually Superstitions Stinks. That was the episode. And at the end, as he goes, as I'm telling you, Olive, there's no such thing as Superstitions. And then they walk past, oh, my God, bread and butter. And he did that.
Bread and butter. Bread and butter.
I remember the episode. Oh, my gosh, bread and butter. Why does your face feel hot?
I feel like you should be more embarrassed than me right now.
Exactly, I am. That's why my face feels hot right now. I feel like a tomato.
All right, Linda. Thank you. See, now you don't. It doesn't seem that weird now, does it?
No, we do though.
You hear us for a few seconds and right. You feel better about yourself.
Bread and butter.
Bread and butter.
Bread and butter.
Bread and butter. Phil, can you look up the origins of this bread and butter splitting a pole thing?
Right. We got to mention this one.
Okay.
Heather McGrath, cotton balls, has a phobia, a fear of cotton balls. She cannot touch one, barely look at them. I almost vomit if I even think about the noise they make. They gross me out so bad. Cotton balls?
Okay, that's interesting because Amanda does not have that for everything, but when they shove them in the pill bottle, it bothers her so much. She's like, it's weird. It shouldn't be there. She's like, I know why it's there. Like, logically, my brain, I know why they put it in there. It makes me so, like, even just taking it out of the bottle, the sound that it makes, like she gets all like.
The cotton that's in those pill bottles is different than the cotton you'd find in like a bag of cotton balls.
Right, so
hates
so
it.
Like you.
Hates it.
Oh.
Hated it. Well.
Hated it. Yeah, me too. I mean, it's as weird as it sounds. I think the same thing when I open a pill bottle and I see that cotton ball there, I'm like, oh. It's like styrofoam.
Styrofoam. I cannot. Oh,
just, but that's just, not a fear or a phobia. That's just
skis. Yeah, it looks like make your hackles go up.
You
gotta put that lid on the cheaper ones, and you gotta like make the lid fit. Just right now. Right, Mike. I got goose pimples on my nipples.
Your nipples are always hard.
And I saw that.
The bread and butter thing, by the way, is something that couples specifically used to do, where if one said it and the other didn't, it meant that like they were about to have a fight or something.
Oh, we both have to say it.
Right.
Right. By saying the phrase, the bad luck of letting something come in between the two of them is thought to be averted.
Huh.
Bread and butter.
This is why we fight all the time.
Bread and butter. Bread and butter.
Just kidding.
Bread and butter.
We don't fight.
No.
I just say yes, dear.
Pass the bread and butter.
Bread and butter.
golfing. Mike in Waterbury.
Mike, golf?
Oh, hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. No, his phobia or fear is golfing.
Golfing? What?
Well, superstition.
Superstition.
You suck at it?
Oh, superstition okay. Regarding golfing. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, if you're golfing and you haven't lost a ball yet, never say out loud, oh, I still have my ball, because in your next shot, it's going to be gone.
Okay.
Yes. Or you just got to knock on wood.
Yep.
That's it. Works every time for me. Every time I say it out loud, there it goes, right in the woods.
Wow.
That's funny.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, same with us.
Guys, pulling into work, though, so
thank you, brother.
A great day.
All right, man, you too. You're in the running for the WWE tickets.
Oh, it's a great day for
superstitions and sports. That's like a whole, that's its own segment.
Oh, yeah, especially baseball.
Oh, pitchers are the weirdest. The weirdest.
And the batters, you see all of the fake swings and tapping.
Undo the gloves, redo the gloves. Pull down the helmet, put it back up. Yeah,
yeah.
Tap the bottom of the cleats, step back into the box.
Pull the sleeve of my jersey,
oh.
Tap three times with the bat. Yeah.
Kiss
every
the chain,
single
tuck
time.
It back in. Yeah, oh, it's a whole thing.
I have this fear, this phobia also, this person Sandra Siena has, when a room doesn't have at least two ways out.
I saw that too.
Yeah.
Well, there's only one way out of this room.
I know. I don't feel easy every day.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.